From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns returns to the theme of Believers and the Problem of Sin, part of this series of studies in the Lord's Prayer. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Clearly Supernatural. The text is found in Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 8. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them. One of the best methods of the Lord's defending his people is to make them strong in inward might. Men are better than walls, and faith is stronger than castles. The Lord can take the feeblest among us and make him like David, the champion of Israel. Lord, do this with me. Infuse thy power into me, and fill me with sacred courage, that I may face the giant with sling and stone, confident in God. The Lord can make his greatest champions far mightier than they are. David can be as God, as the angel of Jehovah. This would be a marvelous development, but it is possible, or it would not be spoken of. O Lord, work with the best of our leaders. Show us what thou art able to do, namely, to raise thy faithful servants to a height of grace and holiness which shall be clearly supernatural. Lord, dwell in thy saints, and they shall be as God. Put thy might into them, and they shall be as the living creatures who dwell in the presence of Jehovah. Fulfill this promise to thine entire church in this our day, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Oh,
Soon it will be the time of year when the thoughts of God's people turn with special emphasis to the miracle of the Incarnation, the incomprehensible truth of Emmanuel, God with us. The Apostle John wrote, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Joseph was told, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." To assist you in meditating upon the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, we're happy to offer a unique publication called The 12 Days of Christmas, written by Roger Ellsworth, an experienced minister and writer. The 12 Days of Christmas is a small paperback book containing 24 devotions, each including a short scripture reading, several paragraphs, and a concluding To Think About section that draws lines of application from the text to modern-day life. The book is intended to help the hearts and minds of believers to focus on the wonder of the Incarnation, as well as to encourage unbelievers to come in repentance and faith to Christ. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make this inspirational booklet available free of charge to our listening audience. You may have a copy simply by contacting us by phone, email, or regular mail. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We encourage you to request your free copy of The 12 Days of Christmas while supplies last. As he continues this study of the Lord's Prayer, Dr. Cairns is dealing with "And forgive us our debts." As he will point out, most of the requests we're to make for ourselves involve the subject of sin and its consequences. One of the clearest teachings of the Bible is that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of the troubles in this world can be traced to one single entity, sin. In the course of today's program, Dr. Cairns will take time to emphasize that only Christians have the answer to this greatest of all problems. The answer is salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, to continue this message, the problem of sin, here is Dr. Cairns.
You remember Peter? Of all the 12 apostles, I suppose the one that we easily or most easily identify with Peter, when he saw the Lord, fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, O Lord. I am a sinful man." That's not that he wanted the Lord to leave him. It's a manner of speaking that makes him express just how unworthy he is. Peter, when he saw the Lord, "I'm a sinful man." Think of John when he saw the Lord. What happened? He fell at his feet as one dead. And this is the apostle who tells all Christians in 1 John chapter 1, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we say that we have not sinned, then we make God a liar. I've already quoted Paul from Romans 7. A little earlier in that chapter, verse 18, Paul says, "I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, and the evil that I would not, that I do." And at the end of it all, he cried, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" You see, the closer you get to God, the more acute will be your sense of sin. I've often said that when I was studying for the ministry, I had the privilege of being taught by one of the holiest men who ever walked the soil of Ireland, and that was J. Kyle Paisley. When you met Ian Paisley's father, you met a man who lived in the holy place, a man who exuded the very presence of God. I've often confessed, and it's unfortunately true, that when I got to be in his class, his teaching days were coming to an end. He was long past his best as a preacher and as a teacher. And yet, I don't think that I lost anything by that, because the one thing that didn't disappear, the one thing that you never lost when you sat down with that man, was the sense of a holiness that you longed to have in your own life. And yet, when J. Kyle Paisley prayed, he prayed as a man deeply, deeply afflicted with the sense of his own sin and his own unworthiness. When he even used the one word, even as he spoke the word, the name of God, the awe that came over his own soul and the souls of those who prayed with him was something you would never forget. The closer you get to God, the more acute will be your sense of sin. And this is what the text is all about, when you get there in the light of God's holiness, you will see sin for what it really is. Now, what is sin? It's very easy to define it. In the words of the Shorter Catechism, sin is any want of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God. That's true. Theologically, it's true. But what is this sin? Notice what the Savior says here, in, according to Matthew chapter 6. "Forgive us our debts." In Luke 11, verse 4, it is, "Forgive us our sins." In actual fact, since the Savior probably spoke this in Aramaic, both Matthew and Luke are giving perfectly legitimate and accurate translations of the same word. And they will give you a full view of what this sin really is. The terms are very instructive. If you take the term that's used in Matthew, for example, it carries the idea of debt and of duty. Let me go through a list of scriptures with you and let you see what this term, this word in the various ways in which it appears in the New Testament carries the idea of debt and duty. Romans 4 verse 4. To him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace but of debt. Matthew 18. Look at verse 28, verse 30, and verse 34. We read of a servant. This is a parable the Lord Jesus told. A servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And then he went and he cast him in prison till he should pay the debt. Now, that's the word. In John 13, verse 14, the Lord Jesus Christ told the disciples after he'd washed their feet, he says, I'm your Lord and Master, and if I, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, so also ought ye to wash one another's feet. In John 19, 7, Jesus, the Jews answered Pilate, and they said, we have a law, and by that law he, that is Christ, ought to die. In Romans 15:27, Paul writes, it hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are, if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them carnal things. Now notice the constant repetition. Debt, owing, and now duty. That's one word. The word in Luke 11 is the usual word for sin, and you've heard it a million times, so I'm not going to prove it at length this morning. The basic idea in it is of missing the mark, and can be proved very simply from Greek usage. So missing the mark is basically in the idea of sin. I put it all together. What is sin? Sin is a deviation from a divine standard. It's missing the mark. Now listen carefully. Micah chapter 6 verse 8 says, he has showed thee, O man, what is good. What doth the Lord thy God require of thee? God has showed what is good. We're not left to define what is good by your ideas or by mine. We're not left to define right and wrong by some so-called natural law. We are left with the revealed word and will of God, clearly, explicitly stating what is right, what is good, what is wrong, and what is evil. God's law is the rule of Christian holiness. God's will is the standard for Christian service. That's what the Bible teaches. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17 tell us that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, in order that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. What is good? It's what God has declared to be good. Now, any deviation from Scripture, therefore, any deviation from that standard is sin. Now, let's get this very clearly. You can get away with murder, literally. You can get away with murder in this country today. There's nothing particularly new about that. If you knew how to work the system, that has always been true. Tonight we'll be starting our Reformation Month series again, and I think I'll be able to give you some historical evidence tonight that has been true for many, many people. They could get away with murder. You can do anything under certain circumstances. But ultimately you get away with nothing. nothing. Why? Because any deviation from that standard that God has set is sin. It's time for you and me to stop judging ourselves by the standards of others. By setting up some foolish, worldly standard, judging ourselves by that and saying, then we're okay. It's time for us to bring our lives to the mirror of the Word of God and let the Word of God show us what we really are and what our lives are really all about in the sight of God. Because the Scripture standard is to the law and to the testimony. That's always the standard. Isaiah spoke of this in chapter 30 and verse 9 when he said, this is a rebellious people. Lying children. Why? Children that will not hear the law of the Lord. What is sin? It's a deviation from God's divine standard. My friend, take your life to that book this morning. That's the standard. And if you don't measure to that standard, then that is sin. Christian, get your life in line with the Bible. That's what we're called to do. We're called to live scriptural lives, not popular lives, not worldly lives, not even religious lives. We're called to live scriptural lives. Anything else is sin. Sin is secondly a dereliction of duty. We are told there are things we ought to do. Forgive us our debts. It is speaking of the things we ought to have done. And the tragedy is that so often we simply don't do what we ought to do. The Lord Jesus told his disciples in Luke 17 and verse 10, when you've done all those things which are commanded you, say we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. We ought to do certain things. If you take the Lord's Prayer, the very first part of it will show you a lot of what you ought to do. We ought to pray. Jesus says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. So we ought to pray. In Luke 18, he says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. And yet, what is it that most marks our lives? It's fainting and not praying. And of course, those two things always go together. The less you pray, the more you faint. The less you pray, the more you fall. Men ought always to pray. We ought to pray. It's our duty to pray. Now, it should be more than our duty. It should be our delight to pray. But even when it's not your delight, even when the body is tired and you feel you can't pray and your tongue cleaves to the roof of your mouth, yet we ought to pray. We ought to hallow the Father's name. I'm not going to take time to repeat all that that means. I preached on that at length some weeks back, what it means to hallow His name, to glorify Him, to make Him known and confess Him before men, to honor and obey Him. These are some of the things that are involved in hallowing His name. We ought to do that. We ought to spread His kingdom. Every Christian should pray, Thy kingdom come. Now there is a looking forward in that to the coming of Christ. But there is also the expression of a sincere desire for the spread of the kingdom of God. The Christian's great interest is to be the kingdom of God. When Christians lose the zeal for the kingdom of God and they get wrapped up in the kingdoms of this world and they're more interested in pushing whether it's business or pleasure or some earthly agenda than the kingdom of God, then they are living in sin. We ought to have a desire to bring others to Christ and bring them under His kingly rule. We ought to be willing to stand up against every foe. We ought to bring ourselves more and more under His complete lordship. And we ought to live in the light of the King's return. We ought. to pray, Thy kingdom come.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.